We are talking with a lead attorney. His name is Michael Francisco, and it was the case that got Congressman Doug Lamborn off the primary ballot this summer. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. There's so much to know and understand in this, isn't there?
Yes.
So can we go back a little bit on how this started? So they go out and get signatures to try and get on the ballot.
Correct.
And they collect a couple thousand, is that right, to try and cover everything?
Yes, close to it, yeah.
And then they go through and try and verify where most that the signatures are valid.
Well, the Secretary of State applies a pretty standard review process to those signatures, which they did. And they determined that he had, you know, a little over 200 additional signatures over the 1,000 under the Secretary of State's review standards. But what the Secretary of State doesn't do is check to see if any of the circulators have committed fraud. And what in order to show fraud, you need to have evidence of that, and citizens can bring that case within 5 days, which is what these plaintiffs did. So we investigated, discovered what we viewed as clear fraud, and then brought that case to court, and that's where it's been going since then.
So the lower court actually originally ruled in the congressman's favor, then you appealed it to the state Supreme Court.
Well, the lower court actually threw out one of the circulators for committing fraud. It just didn't throw out two circulators. And so it depends on how you want to look at it, but we viewed it as a victory in the sense that we got one of the circulators thrown out. And many of Lamborn's arguments were saying that the court shouldn't hear any evidence at all of voter fraud in that context. So it was a good result in that way. And then when we appealed, we were, of course, vindicated when the unanimous Supreme Court threw out the other circulator.
Now, as far my understanding, I'm not an attorney, so that's what we certainly want to make sure we understand this, is election law is state law, correct? I mean, each state has their individual's way they conduct elections.
Correct. And the Colorado Supreme Court gets to be the final decider of state law, and they decided this case purely on Colorado's election code.
Because we hear the congressman, he's calling an appeal, and apparently it's not really that. We'll talk about that in a moment. But as far as this case is over, the Supreme Court has made its ruling. We're done.
Correct. It's final. There's no appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. You don't get to appeal from the Colorado Supreme Court to federal district court. It's some sort of misunderstanding if somebody calls it an appeal. What Lamborn is talking about doing is filing a brand new lawsuit, which would be Lamborn versus the state of Colorado, in order to argue that a major portion of our election law is unconstitutional under the U.S. Constitution.
Well, and looking at the appeal that you guys made to the Supreme Court, the second petitioner was in question that he was not even a resident of Colorado, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that a lot of the signatures he collected, or is it because that he was not a resident of Colorado that any of the signatures he collected were
valid? Well, that's right. For years, the standard legal result, if you have a circulator that breaks the law, is that you don't count any of the signatures gathered by that circulator. That's actually in the Secretary of State's rules. If they discover missing portions of the circulator's information, they won't count any of the signatures. And there have been several court cases that have the same consequence. So there was no surprise to us when the court threw out the signatures once it was determined that he had violated the residency laws. And in fact, he had lied on his affidavits. So there's really three ways that residency was involved. He shouldn't have been a registered voter because you have to be a resident to be registered to vote and affiliated with the party. He shouldn't have declared his residency for purposes of being a circulator. And every time he signed a sworn affidavit, he was saying, I am a resident of Colorado. And that was not true. It was lying on his key information of being a circulator.
Now, and go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, if the congressman sues the state of Colorado in federal court, as you just mentioned, will you be involved in that case as well?
Yes, we intend to intervene and to go and defend the constitutionality of Colorado's laws if and when that case is filed.
And the question is, and we're going to get it, and we're going to have to take a break soon, but it's coming up like Secretary of State's office with a new lawsuit that Lamborn's office's campaign is filing. It's saying that having to look into voter registration and dig in more, but isn't that the point of, I guess that's my question, isn't that the point is making sure all voters are legit?
Well, 2 points. One, this case is not about voter registration.
Okay.
This is about the petition process and whether circulators are residents and follow Colorado law. And there's a different procedure and statute for whether you can challenge somebody's voter registration. You would not do it in this election law context like we have here. And I think it's simply a misnomer to say that this lawsuit is going to have an effect on voter registration and that we're now going to have hearings where we ask people questions. There's no realistic chance of that happening. This is really focused on making sure that when people petition on the ballot, they follow the rules. And I that's why there's not going to be an issue with voter registration from it.
All right, we will continue with Michael Francisco in just a couple of moments. It's approaching 6:42. Traffic, weather, more with the attorney in just a moment as we continue on KRDO's Morning News.
And we are talking with Michael Francisco this morning, lead attorney that was on the case that had questioned some signatures for some to get Congressman Doug Lamborn on the ballot. And Mike, you had some fantastic. We have so many. There's a lot of questions that can go into this, and it's understanding this whole process, isn't it?
Exactly. And one of the things we were speaking off of during the commercial break, because I'm trying to understand this. Most people, as they shop, go into supermarkets, things like that, or malls, shopping centers, get stopped by petitioners every time election time rolls around asking you, hey, are you a registered voter? Will you sign this? And you were explaining to me that there is a difference in the way the law is written for people asking you to sign something, say, for a potential constitutional amendment or getting on the primary ballot as far as candidates for the parties.
That's right. And there are different rules for circulators if we're talking about a partisan primary election for candidates versus issues to go on the ballot. And Colorado has a very clear requirement, has for decades, that in order to circulate in a partisan race, you have to be an affiliated voter with that party. And that's to protect the parties from having other political parties interfere with the selection of their primary candidates. It's called party raiding. So if you think about it, the Democrats don't want the Green Party or the Republicans to all circulate petitions and stack their primary, which is their associational interest in their primary, with other candidates. So there's always been two sets of rules in Colorado, and that's why this case is really focused on the ones that apply to candidates, not all the issues that you may sign petitions for.
Now, it took the plaintiffs taking this to court to bring this to light and to have the action that the court ultimately took. Any concern or thoughts of why this wasn't caught when the petitions were turned in without the court intervention?
The Secretary of State only does what's called a paper review. They check to see if circulators' names are in the registered voter database. It's not really their role to do investigations and see if somebody has committed fraud when they've been collecting signatures or when they have claimed to be a resident or registered voter. But that's why we have this law in Colorado that allows any voter, not just another candidate in the race, but any voter in the state, to bring a challenge within 5 days. So it was not surprising to me that the Secretary of State looked at the papers and said, well, these people's names are in the papers, and they didn't do anything else because that wasn't their job. But when we started investigating, it was very obvious to us that there was a real pattern of bringing in out-of-state people and defrauding the system. And we had all these people registered at a three-bedroom townhouse in Thornton. We had three people registered at the same address in Colorado Springs, and most of them had registered to vote conveniently just a couple days before they started gathering signatures. So it was obvious to us there was something more to investigate.
Okay, and if the federal court decides to take on this challenge that the Congressman Lamborn is now making, suing the state of Colorado, when do you expect that to be heard? We understand the Secretary of State would like it expedited if it happens.
Well, everybody wants to get this done before ballots go out, but there actually is a little bit of time before ballots are printed. There's a nominal date of this Friday for the content to be finalized, but the Secretary's already said publicly that they have another 1 to 2 weeks after that before they really have to start printing ballots. I would expect, if Lamborn brings this lawsuit, that a court will give it some sort of hearing in federal court before the ballots have to be printed.
All right, we'll continue to follow the story. Thank you for making time for us this morning. I know you're very busy. Michael Francisco has been joining us, and we'll have this up on the podcast. If you missed the beginning of it, you'll be able to go to KRDOradio.com and go back and listen. KRDO News Time, 6:51.